Let's take our Bibles together tonight. Right after I was done singing that hymn, I was going to say, you may be seated. I'm not sure if you're standing at home or not. I just pulled the microphone right out. I guess we won't be using it anymore this evening. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 23 in our Bibles together. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Psalm 23 and verse number 1 is our text. I'm going to begin a brand new series tonight, and for the next several messages, I'm going to be preaching from this series. God has really touched my heart from the study and the message that I preached last Sunday. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And so I'm going to begin a brand new message tonight, and we'll continue it in every preaching service. Be still and know is the series entitlement. Be still and know. And tonight I want us to think about this. Be still and know that I am good. God is a good God. He is a good God. And we're going to be looking at the nature of the Lord. The nature of the Lord as a good God. The Bible says this, Psalm 23, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shadow of death is the threat of death in our life, the shadow of death. And yet the Bible says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want us to notice tonight this expression. The Bible says goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. This is defined as the shepherd's psalm. A young shepherd boy named David, as he looked up at the creation of God, began to think about the goodness of God in his life. And as he considered God's goodness and God's mercy that followed him in the good times and in the bad times, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Be still and know that God is good. Let's pray together. Lord, help us tonight as we look at this Bible message. Lord, I pray you would help us to see your goodness. Lord, we have over our heads a dark cloud, and many of your children may fail to see your goodness in the difficulties of our time. But Lord, you are good, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you will do. Help us, Lord, as we look at your word this evening. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to think about the shepherd's psalm and the goodness of God. And I want us to think, first of all, if we could, number one, the good shepherd. The good shepherd. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The Bible teaches us that God is our shepherd. He's our shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 14, it says this, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, the great shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3 says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. God is a good shepherd. God is the great shepherd. And God is the chief shepherd. Of all the descriptions of God as our shepherd, there is none greater. Friend, listen to me. There is none greater than Psalm 23. You say, well, Pastor Burns, what makes it different? Well, think about it. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He is the good shepherd, absolutely. He is the great shepherd. There's no doubt about it. He is the chief shepherd. But friend, I'm happy to tell you, if you know the Lord, He is your shepherd. God is my shepherd. John chapter 10 and verse number 10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it, life more abundantly. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The Bible says that He is the good shepherd. You know, our world today is filled with disappointments. People may disappoint us. Jobs, careers, wealth and health, all are disappointments. But God will never disappoint. He is a good shepherd. But the Bible says also that He is our shepherd that gives contentment. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He fulfills my heart. He gives me everything that I need. You know, friend, listen to me. God is the good shepherd, not because He does good things, but God does good things because He is a good shepherd. The nature of God is that He is good. And because He is a good shepherd, the Bible says He only doeth wondrous things. When God created this whole world, He looked at creation and He said, it is good. When God created man, God created male and female, God looked at His creation and He said, it is very good. God is not good because God created good things, but God created good things because He is good. His nature is good. And He can only do that which is good. As the good shepherd, the Bible says He gives contentment. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The good shepherd, He shares His life with us, His own resources, His own restfulness. He shares with His people. The Bible says, He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. God as a good shepherd, He shares His life with us. Everything that we need comes from Him. He provides and He gives us contentment in our heart. The reality is that when we come to the point in our life when God is all we have, we will learn that God is all we need. The Lord is my shepherd, the psalmist said. I shall not want. The good shepherd shares His life with us. But listen, the good shepherd gives His life for us. In verse 3 of our text, the Bible says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The word there, restoreth, is a far stronger word than it seems on the surface. The Hebrew word there literally means to bring back my soul. To bring back my soul. And the Bible says here that the Lord is my shepherd, and He brings back or restoreth my soul, and He leads me in the pathway of righteousness. When a sheep goes astray, he does it for no reason at all. And once he has gone astray, he cannot find his way back home. That is why the Bible says the good shepherd did leave the 99 sheep in the wilderness and he went after the one that was lost. Someone said this, none of the ransom ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found his sheep that was lost. God is a good shepherd. He shares his life with us, his resources with us. God is a good shepherd because he has given us, he has given his life. He is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. Someone said it this way. They said, up from the mountain, thunder riven, and up from the rocky steep, there comes a glad cry to the gates of heaven. Rejoice! I have found my sheep. And the angels echo around the throne. Rejoice! The Lord brings back his own. I'm glad today that the Lord went after the one. And friend, listen, you're the one and I'm the one. He died for us. He gave his life for us. The good shepherd. He shares his life with us. He gave his life for us. If you ever doubt the goodness of God, then take a long stare at Calvary's Hill, where he bled and died for you and me. The Bible says he's the good shepherd. But not only do I find in this text the good shepherd, I want us to think about this. Number two, if you're taking notes, you can write it down. Number two, the goodness of the shepherd. Not only the good shepherd, but let's think about the goodness the shepherd gives. Verse number four, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's think about the goodness of the shepherd. Let's think about his goodness and mercy that follow me. The goodness and the mercy of God. By the way, these go hand in hand. When you find the goodness of God, you'll find the mercy of God. And when you find the mercy of God, you'll find the goodness of God. C.H. Spurgeon used to call the goodness and the mercy of God, God's footmen. He said in his day, when a wealthy man traveled, two footmen took their place behind him on a coach. Their task was to smooth the way for him. Where he went, they were always there. When the coach stopped, they jumped down to open the door for him. They would hurry into the inn to make sure his room was ready and his supper was served. God's two footmen are goodness and mercy. And they follow us just like those footmen to smooth our journey home to heaven. Goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Let's think about these two truths and the goodness of God and the mercy of God. Number one, we find a happy eternity. The Bible says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. And let's take a moment and think about eternity for a moment. I hope you're ready to see the Lord. People talk about, well, Pastor Burns, I think this might be it. I think the Lord is coming back. I don't know if this is it or not. I do know this. The Lord is coming back. But the question far greater than is this it is, are you ready? Are you ready? If it is it, are you ready to see the Lord? And I'm not just talking about unsaved people. I'm talking about Christians. Are you ready? Are you ready to see the Lord? There might be someone listening to this broadcast tonight that's not living for the Lord, that's not doing what God would have them to do. Hey, listen, if this were to be it and we were to be in the presence of the Lord tonight or before this sermon's done, are you ready to see the Lord? You know, the Bible says there's a crown waiting for those who are excited to see his appearing, are ready to see his appearing. And friend, you cannot be excited. You cannot be happy for the appearing of the Lord, except you're ready to see the Lord. The Bible says this, John chapter 14, look at it together. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. We're talking about the Godhead here. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The preparation of the Lord was the cross. The cross was, he was going to go to a cross. He was going to give his life so that we can have eternal life and that we can be with God for all eternity. They said, Thomas said, Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know how to get to where you're going. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, and the pathway is paved with the blood of Jesus Christ. And friend, your salvation is not based on your merit. It is based upon the merit of Jesus and the goodness of God. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son so that we can have eternal life through the Son, not through a church or baptism or good works. It's through Christ that we have eternal life. And the Bible says here that we have an eternity, the house of the Lord, forever, because of the goodness of God, because of what he's done for us. We see a happy eternity. But not only, if we go back to our text here, not only do we have a happy eternity, but salvation doesn't begin when you die. You know, people believe that. They believe eternal life is when we go to heaven. But Jesus said this is life eternal, that they believe on the Father, that they believe in God, and they believe on me whom he sent. Eternal life begins the moment you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. And that's why eternal security is often misunderstood, because they believe that, well, if you sin between now, the moment you put your trust in the Lord, and death, you'll lose your salvation. But eternal life, the promise of John 3:16, it begins at believing. And the moment you believe, you have eternal life. And no man will take that from you. The Bible says that no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. And so look what the scriptures says here in verse number 4. This is a happy life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And one of the greatest words in the Bible, friend, is this. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Bible says this in verse number 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. When I look at this text and I think of the goodness of God, I think of, first of all, his protection in our life. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even in the shadow of death, David is saying, even in the dark days of our life, the staff of God is a comfort to our soul. Now think about Moses in the Red Sea as he sat at the side of the riverbed awaiting death by the Egyptians. Moses took and he plunged that rod in the river and he saw the salvation of the Lord. I'm glad today for the rod and the staff and the comfort that God gives to us. His protection in life, his presence in life. It says here, for thou art with me, no matter what we face in life, no matter the troubles and the trials, no matter what happens, God is with us. Even through the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is there. He's with us to help us. A wonderful promise. God is there to help us. We find the provision in life. He sets a table in the presence of mine enemies. God did this several times for the children of Israel as he fed God's people with manna as He provided time and time again. I'm glad for God's provision in the hard times and in the good times. The provision of God. And then we see the peace of God in our life. I'm told a shepherd would often carry a small flask of oil, and he would use this oil to anoint the face of his sheep if they found food among thorns and thistles. And the psalmist compares this oil, and often in the Bible, oil is used to describe the Holy Spirit and His comfort in our life. As oil would soothe the wounds of the sheep, the Spirit of God is our comfort and our peace and our helper. The Bible says it this way in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The Holy Spirit is there to comfort us and to give to us help and peace. And then we find the pleasure that God gives in life. He anointeth our head with oil. Our cup runneth over. It speaks of God's happiness and God's joy and God's contentment and God's pleasure for us in our lives. This is the work of the Lord. This is the goodness of the shepherd in our life. I want to remind you, as I mentioned, John 10, verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The thief came to steal. He came to steal life. He came to kill life. He came to destroy life. The reality is, Christian, listen to me. The devil cannot take your salvation, but he can take your joy. He can take your peace. He can get you. You know, people will often say, and I think there's evidence in the Bible, that the devil can put thoughts in your mind. And the old saying is, listen, the devil can put thoughts in your mind. You can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. And when those old thoughts come of worry and doubt, listen, you just claim the promises of God and allow the Holy Spirit to grow your faith through the Word of God. And the Bible says that the Lord is there and He's a good God. We think of the good shepherd and the goodness of the shepherd. I want to give you one last point and we'll be done for our Bible study tonight. As we look at this message, be still and know that God is good. He's a good God. And even though you may not see, even though you may not see the goodness of God through the cloud that surrounds us today, listen, our opinion or someone's opinion of God doesn't determine who He is. He is a good God. That's what the Bible says. I want us to think about, thirdly, the greatness of the shepherd. The Bible says in verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Now notice that expression, "all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Do you know what makes dark days better? The great shepherd with us and the goodness of God. The goodness of God. There will never be a day in my life that God's mercy and God's goodness will not be following behind me. Disappointments may come in your life. Difficult days may come in your life. Yet we find this great promise in the Bible that God's goodness and God's mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You say, "Pastor Burns, I just don't see the goodness of God." Then you need to look a little closer, friend, because it's following behind you. It's there. It's there. God is a good God. He is a great God. And He loves us. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says this, "Let your conversation be without covetousness." The word conversation there is an old English word. It means the life you live. Let your life that is lived be without covetousness. And be content with what you have. That's what the Bible says. For there's a great promise in the Bible, the greatest promise. And that is this. For the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am with you every step of the way. The shepherd will be present in our life every single day. When you woke up this morning, the shepherd was there waiting for you to arise. Before that storm hits your life, he holds your hand. When those disappointments come into your life, he is saying, trust in me. I'll never let you down. I'll never fail you. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jonathan Edwards' wife, Sarah Edwards, wrote to her daughter, Esther, shortly after Jonathan Edwards' death. Her response to their loss and the disappointment in life was inspirational. She wrote these words. She said, what shall I say? A holy and good God has covered us with a dark cloud. Oh, that we may kiss the rod and lay our hands on our mouths. The Lord has done it. He has made me adore his goodness that we had Jonathan so long. But my God lives, and he has my heart. Oh, what a legacy my husband and your father has left for us. We are all given to God, and there I am, and love to be. God is a good God. See through the cloud that encircles your life. See through the difficulties that come into your life. Be still. The thought is to give it to God. Give the trial to God. How can I do this, Pastor Burns? Be still and know that God is good. Be still and know that God is good. And friend, today listen, when you cannot see God's hand and you don't understand God's hand, and you don't know what God is doing, you can always trust his heart. And we know that God is always good. He is a God who only doeth wondrous things. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths that we have in our life. And Lord, we're encouraged. We're encouraged to know that you're in control in the days that we are living.